Well, we're inside Phil's living room where there are laminate floors. I would love to say it was hardwood, but I guess not.
It's going to warp.
Yeah, sure.
No, it really is.
Whatever, bud. So he's got these walls and he has these floors and the entire vaulted ceiling, which is attractive, but everything echoes, you know?
Margaret, I can't do anything about it.
All right, so I'm here to do the Phil Hendry Show. And now, these guys...
Here we go. Sorry.
Just no more commenting, all right? I know we do it with Phil, but you won't do it with me.
Margaret?
No, you're not going to do it with me. These guys, as soon as the equipment went out, as soon as the studio crashed, and it went to pitch black, and I immediately ran out into the street because I don't like being in a pitch black place. It just... No comment on present company, but it gave me the creeps, and so I'm sorry if I ran into you, bud.
Well, you knocked me against the wall and everything.
Well, I'm sure you survived, but I panicked, and I ran out the front door and out into the street and looked at the moon and said a silent prayer. It was very, very surreal, but within minutes, General, the power came back on.
Yeah, there was a very short, and we've had a lot of power outages. Around here.
We've had more we've had more than our share, I should say. So we went back into the studio, and that's when we discovered that
The record program.
Yeah, the Audacity.
The record program, the Audacity, not only had crashed, but the board itself was beginning to distort, and a number of other problems that I'm too bored to go into. But what I do remember is this one here and Phil... running around in the green room, and then they went out back, and then they went down the side of the building, and it was...
You guys were a disgrace.
And they're screaming and crying, and Phil was leaning on the hood of his car crying, and I said, what is up with you? Excuse my language, but... And I'll use the Margaret Mumble. What is up with you dick peddlers, you know?
Well, you know, it was fear.
We were afraid.
You were afraid of what, for God's sake? So I said, look... Why don't you guys stay out here and spank you? I'll go back inside and do a show, and that's exactly what we're doing right now. What I found today, as I was perusing the supermarket tabloids, was the Inquirer. And wouldn't you know it was left downstairs.
Well, we can go get it.
All right. Well, why the guys are going to run downstairs and get the Inquirer. But one of the stories that I thought was quite fascinating was one that said that President Trump and his entire family, in fact, were at risk of some terror incident. In other words, the National Enquirer makes the claim that it's privy to certain documents that say that there may have been a terrorist, a terrorist machination, a terrorist plot to bring down the entire Trump family. And that was by messing around with the rotors on the official helicopter, right?
Yes, it's called Air Force Two or Marine One or Chopper. What is it called, bud?
It's called Air Force Two.
Oh, it's not called Air Force Two.
I don't know.
Well, there's Brea. Come here. Come over, Brea. Come on, darling.
There's Brea the cat.
Yeah, come here, Brea. Come on, you want to sit down here? Come on.
Well, she's scared of you, bud, because of the way you look, but...
No, she isn't.
Anyway, so the Inquirer made the claim, very left-handish and out of left field and strange as they do things to probably keep themselves, even though I'm sure the Inquirer is not afraid of being sued. Now, there's a message coming in here. I don't know who this is from. And nonetheless, what we find ourselves looking at when we look at the Inquirer...
Come on, Margaret, will you pick it up, will you? All right, sorry.
You say that to me one more time. Brea, bud.
Brea, come here.
Get the cat. She's sitting in the hallway, General.
What do you want me to do?
Go get the cat.
Come here, Brea.
Come here, brat. I mean, cat.
Call her a brat.
Come on, Brea.
So what are we left with when we're left with the National Enquirer? We're left with this newspaper, quote-unquote, that is run by this, and I'll say it as delicately as I can, this asshole bunny.
You talk about an asshole buddy.
That's exactly what I was trying not to say. This guy, I don't even know his name. It's Bob Lean, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, you are mistaken. This is what you do when you don't know a name.
I know that. I don't know the name, folks. But I have at least this much respect for people that if I don't know their name, I'll substitute a name to show that I have some valid interest in them. So Bob Lean or Mike Bulge, I don't know.
Mike Bulge.
It's a name I just grabbed out of, if you'll pardon the expression, out of thin air, if you'll pardon the expression, thin. All right, that having been said, let's move on to what the essence of this.
Yeah, I've been waiting for you to do this.
I'm going to do it. The essence of the story is that the National Enquirer published this story about the Trump family possibly being the objects of a terror plot, and that they, meaning the Enquirer, are in possession, possession of documents that validate this. And in these documents is the stated claim that the rotors on this helicopter had somehow been compromised. Now, there's so much wrong with this and so much suspect that I almost have to laugh. First of all, this is the National Enquirer trying to make themselves sound important. Now, this did not originate with the White House, these documents, if they have any documents at all, which I doubt. These would have originated with the Defense Department or Secret Service and so forth. The National Enquirer would have us believe, of course, that Donald Trump's family or Donald Trump himself probably leaked this information. Well, no, he did not.
All right, now how can you say that?
Here's how I can say it. Donald Trump's ego is both over-large and insecure enough to want to reserve the imparting of that news to himself. In other words, he wouldn't let the Enquirer leak it. Donald Trump, as we have all seen and heard, would put this on, as the kids say, he'd put it on blast. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, he put it on blast on a tweeter.
Exactly, right there on Twitter. Hey, guess what I know? And look at this, and look at that, and so forth. No, this wasn't any documentation from the Defense Department or from the Secret Service. If it came at all from the Trump family, it came with very explicit instructions as to how to convey it, how to use it, etc. And there is no question at all that there was consultation between Trump and the National Enquirer.
All right, now what about the veracity?
What about that?
Do you know what veracity means, Bud?
Yeah, it means the truthfulness of it.
Very good. The,
Why are you pausing?
It was surprising that Bud knew.
Well, I asked the general.
You asked the general when?
Just now.
I didn't see him ask you anything.
Well, he did.
You guys are so full of crap, your eyes are brown, you know that?
Well, that's great.
Oh, no, it's true. So, where was I?
You're talking about the veracity of Donald Trump and the Enquirer?
Yes. So, the National Enquirer, there's no question, is lying. They have no real secret documentation. They have a conversation between Donald Trump and his, and I'll say it again, using the Margaret Mumble, and his butthole buddy.
No, I see, I can't understand that.
Neither can I.
Well, so what if you can't understand it?
That means the audience really can't understand it. You're trying to get the right people to understand it, and at the same time, the highly sensitive not to understand it, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, you're going to have to be a little bit...
I'm talking about Donald Trump and the publisher of the National Enquirer, Buck Bulge, or what? I don't know his name. The two of them being butthole buddies.
Oh, butthole buddies. I'm sorry.
What is the point of me?
She does the mumble.
I know.
All right. Well, then let me just say it out loud. The butthole.
Margaret.
Well, you guys forced me to do that. So, the butthole. All right. These two clowns, Trump, not clowns, but the publisher of the Enquirer and Donald Trump, cooked up this horse dung story. Okay.
Yeah, well, I've got a question.
All right.
If they cooked it up and they put this in the National Enquirer, the Secret Service will see it, and the Defense Department will see it, and they'll say, what gives? We didn't hear about any plot, anything like this.
Well, in that eventuality, then, what we're talking about here is the fact that Donald Trump has been talking directly to the National Enquirer. There are no secret documents. And is drawing a conclusion based upon the Secret Service's report to him, and perhaps the Defense Intelligence Agency's report to him, that there was this problem with the rotor. Was it terrorism? We don't know that, do we?
Yes, but why would he lie about that? If he's lying about it, then again he has the Secret Service.
I think that he can draw a conclusion on his own. If he has a problem with the Secret Service or the defense people, Bud, what are you doing?
I'm having a little teeny bit of chocolate ice cream.
All right, well, don't bring the whole place down.
All right, so you understand?
No, I don't.
What don't you understand?
If Donald Trump is making up any part of this, he's going to hear from the Secret Service. If Donald Trump is the one who is leaking this to the National Enquirer, that's not such a big deal, because obviously he can do what he wants, but making up stuff out of whole cloth.
Well, this is where I come to Donald Trump drawing his conclusions. The Secret Service can say, well, sir, we didn't really see that. And he says, well, that's my opinion, and I think that's what's happening. And what are you going to do about it, you know? However, barring that, what he would do is simply have a conversation with Butch Bulba. What is his name, Bud?
I don't know.
Well, why would you call him Butch Bulba?
I'm being respectful in giving him a name. So again, what we are left with is Donald Trump talking to this guy, his buddy down there at the National Enquirer. Here's Bray again. Come on, darling. Talking to his butthole...
Yeah, talking to his butthole buddy.
And I tried to mumble it.
Well, it did go over too good.
Yeah, I know that. Donald Trump, God damn it, my voice.
Donald Trump is talking to the butthole.
He's talking to the butthole buddy.
Yes. And they're talking, and he says, well, you know, there may have been this problem, there may have been that problem. I don't know.
But again, he's...
Does he look like the kind of guy that cares what the Secret Service thinks? I personally believe that any leaking that goes on having to do with the safety of the First Family, it all comes from Donald Trump. It's done to, number one, prop up his friend there at the National Enquirer. It's done to get his jollies and to exorcise whatever anger he has at the possibility of a threat against the First Family, to try and isolate those elements within the Secret Service or Defense Department or the armed forces that may be trying to assassinate him.
Well, now you're changing the story. You're saying it was made up.
Again, it could be completely made up. This is the nefariousness of this man, Trump, and his bullshit.
Well, you know, that guy, God, man.
What are you trying to say, bud?
I don't know. You know?
By the way, where's Robert?
Well, he took off. He heard he wasn't in. He took off.
Yeah, he split.
So Phil's sleeping, and I'm...
Well, Margaret, you're the one that said you're going to take care of this. It's what you do, you know.
All right, it is what I do, but I'm just wondering where other people are. Now, look at Little Thunder. She is staring at me as if I'm something from the Black Lagoon.
Well, Margaret, you know, she's scared of you.
Well, she's not so scared that she isn't sitting right here on the... on the straw ottoman and yawning and looking up at the ceiling, so.
Hey, Miss Green.
All right, let's bring in my husband, Frank.
Hey, Frank, how you doing?
Yeah.
Frank, how are you, darling?
Yeah, I'm great. I heard the...
Let me just tell you what we're doing here.
I know you're taking over the show here, right?
Yes.
All right. I was over here in the corner. Yeah, I say, General Shaw, you saw me.
Yeah, I saw Frank come in.
Right.
How long have you been here?
About 15 minutes, and I have to tell you that what I've been listening to you say, Margaret, has been contradictory, and I got...
Yeah, it's been kind of contradictory.
Well, Dickman, don't you start leaping onto a bandwagon that I've just now constructed, because this is my bandwagon, and I want to ride along in it in comfort, and not have a bunch of weird people
What's the point here, Frank? What are you saying?
What I'm saying, Margaret, is that you have been You started out saying that Trump could not have had anything to do with the rumor.
That is, Margaret, that's true.
Oh, horse dung.
Wait, well, hold on a minute. Horse dung, I listened to the whole thing. You said Trump couldn't have anything to do with it. Then you said that she did. Then you said that the Secret Service and the Defense Department was doing the leaking. Then you said that they weren't. Then you said that there may be an assassination plot that they're doing and that Trump doesn't know about. And then you said this guy, Bob Bulgar, or...
That's the made-up name of the Inquirer man.
No, I know that. But you said that Bulge and Trump were butthole buddies, and they're trading this off, and they're making it up. So that's the... See, and anybody listening, I'm going to tell you this right now. When Phil listens to this, she's going to come right out of her underwear and run down the street screaming. Because as bad as her show is, you just took it into a brand spanking new, just recently installed, toilet.
Miss Gray, it's true.
Bud, the only thing you've been doing here for the last 20 minutes is say, well, Miss Gray, you know it's true.
Yes, but the young man, it's not taking into the toilet, really. What do you call, Margaret, you're in love with the sound of your own voice.
Frank, just ease back. You're the lawyer, all right? And you're a trial lawyer, too. And I've watched you hold forth with your horse dung many a time. Now, what I said was very clear, that Donald Trump either originated this rumor himself and did so to self-aggrandize and to bring sympathy upon himself that possibly, but then realized, no, I better not do that. I better have it leaked very quietly through the National Enquirer.
Right, but then you said no. For the first thing you said...
Easy, Frank. Take it easy, all right? Don't blow a gasket.
God damn it.
Take it easy, Frank.
Then I said... that originally, yes, you're right, I said that Donald Trump could not have done this. It had to have been the Defense Department.
Yes, now that's true. Then you came around to the idea that it was Donald Trump. I don't even know why it is we're talking about this horse dung on toast.
We're talking about it. I like that.
Yeah, well, Mr. Gray, in all fairness, you just came over there.
I just came over there.
Yeah, near the fireplace, you were standing there.
Yes, I went over to warm myself on a very brisk evening. You know, it's...
Is it cold out there?
It's very cold. Now, I know people listening to the download, excuse my language, anyone listening to a download, it may be daytime and it might be 90 degrees where you are, but as this is being recorded, I'm freezing I'm cold.
It's been a very wet and rainy day. Now, let me tell you something that I listened to today, Frank, that I think you'll find fascinating. I was driving down the road and listening to last night's show. I was listening to the show from Wednesday. Is that what we're talking about here?
I don't know. What are you talking about? Yeah, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about when we talked to you golfing.
Oh, yeah. That was today's show.
Yes, and I said, but I was talking to you the day before today.
What?
Yeah,
You know what I'm saying, Frank. Don't get me pissed off.
You're talking about Tuesday.
Yes, it was Tuesday we were recording for Wednesday, and it was pouring down rain today, and I said, Frank and everyone is playing golf at Riviera, and I got off the air, I got in the car, and I went over to Mabelbee's to do some shopping, and Lois Alvin was in there, okay?
Yeah? Oh, Christ, what did he want?
Well, she didn't want anything, but she looked at me like I'd crawled out from underneath some refrigerator. And I said, hello, Lois. And she said, hi. And she's looking me up and down like I'm some weird bum out of a laboratory, like I'm Frankenstein's daughter or something.
Well, you know.
Oh, if the shoe fits, wear it.
I didn't say that.
You know, Frank.
Come on. It's everybody. It's a breakup. We're all friends here.
Everybody break up. We're all friends here.
Well, the poor boy meant to say something else.
My point is, do you remember what we were talking about, General?
No, I don't. And I'm glad that I don't because it was scaring the shit out of me, I'll tell you that.
You was talking about Lois Alvin.
Yeah, that's right, Lois Alvin.
All right. So Lois Alvin looks at me like I'm 15 shades of creep and finally says, what's with you? And I said, what's your problem? And she said that it was pouring rain, and I don't know.
You know, the problem that you have, Margaret, you and Lois and the rest of your kind...
Oh, my kind? Like I'm a species of vampire?
Margaret, you people sit around all day, you jaw-jack every teeny-weeny-weeny problem. Lois, boy, that woman, he never shuts up, you know. And talk to Lois's husband if you want to know how bad he gets. Because Carl was telling me that when he's taking the kids to school, she's trying to get ready to go off on the freeway, and he says to her, "Hey, honey, do you mind picking up some sassafras and sourdough and some asinine stuff like that?" And she says, "I got to go out and make a living, and I can't even."
All right. Well, anyway, Frank, thanks so much for coming in here and just spreading both cheeks and laying one right on top of what I was trying to say.
I didn't do that at all.
Yes, you did.
Well, he clarified a lot of points.
He did clarify the fact that you were off in all... God!
What are you talking about?
Margaret, you were all over the road with that National Enquirer jazz.
All right, now, thank you for that, Frank, and I'll never forget the fact that you came in here...
I know, spread both cheeks and dropped one.
Yes. Now, the next thing about the National Enquirer... So, there's a story that is patently irresponsible, is only in their magazine because Donald Trump gives this publisher, Rick CBB... What is his name?
Why don't you learn what her name is instead of standing there...
You know what? It doesn't matter to me. The publisher of the National Enquirer, Bobby Woo...
See, that's disrespectful.
No, it is not. It gives the man a name. Otherwise, he's just that guy.
I'd rather be that guy than to have you call me Bobby Woo Woo. Fuck.
I married you, Frank. I happen to know your name.
Yeah, well, so he says, you know.
Oh, he does? I mean, she doesn't?
You'd be surprised.
Oh, that is so much... Never mind.
Of course I'm kidding.
This is Margaret Gray, and I'm here with my husband, Frank Gray, General Galen Shawsworth, and also Bud Dickman. For those of you just joining this podcast, well, how do you just join a podcast?
No, that's just it. Most people listen to them from the very beginning, and they don't join it up.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, all right. So what we're just to recap, to give myself a little bit of breathing room, to pretend like I need to catch people up when, in point of fact, what I am doing is scrambling... for something else to talk about.
Well, I thought the Enquirer was, you know, my understanding was you were going to talk about Enquirer.
Well, I was, but if I'm going to sit here and have you and these two carve it up like it's a Thanksgiving turkey...
Margaret, all we're doing is we're trying to find consistency.
All right, well, the point that I'm trying to make...
Yeah, just say, you know, Bobby Woo Woo or whatever.
What has Bobby Woo Woo got to do with anything?
There is no Bobby Woo Woo. It's a made up. Oh God!
Look at this poor man who's the catcher for the. Do you see this?
Yeah, that was the young man, the catcher for the Toronto Blue Jays, and she went into the stands to make a catch, then got tangled up in some netting, and had a thing fall on her head. It was if I were her, I'd sue the Christ out of him.
Well, who would you sue? Would you sue the ballpark?
I'd sue whoever was responsible. Sue the. What do you call it, Bud?
Yeah, probably the groundskeeper.
Yeah, you'd sue the ground crew, whatever the company is that runs the ground crew. Well, that would be the stadium. Now, one of the problems down in Florida, and I think this is the... Is this the grapefruit, or...?
I think that the Blue Jays is in the Grapefruit League.
What is the Grapefruit League?
Well, there are two leagues in spring training. Do I got to explain all this to you, Margaret?
If you don't mind, Frank, all right, because I've got to explain a million things to you.
That is that's a load of horse dung.
All right, come on, let's just... So the Grapefruit League...
Yeah, the Grapefruit League is in Florida, and the Cactus League is in Arizona. And there's 10 teams or 12, I don't know how, 15 teams. Oh, God, I'm out of breath.
I'll pick it up from there. I think what you're saying is there's 15 teams in the Cactus and 15 in the Grapefruit.
Yeah, and they play in the league.
No kidding.
Well, Margaret, we're trying to help you out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're trying to help you out. Why? What am I belching up?
I beg your pardon?
What am I belching up? What did you serve on that cracker?
I brought out some pico de gallo and some tortilla chips. Christ on a crutch.
I think it's very good, Miss Gray.
Well, thank you, Bud. At least we have one man with some manners.
I just... I'm belching up something that's fetid.
No, it's very good, Margaret.
It's pico de gallo that I just made. Fetid?
It tastes as if I just bit into a dead man's ass. God.
You know what, Frank? You may be getting...
Oh, look at this. Yeah, he's starting to laugh again.
I am not laughing, but you have a way of putting things, Frank, that's really just right up the butt.
The point that I'm making is that I saw this poor kid run into a goddammit.
The kid ran into some netting. That would be the ballpark, wouldn't it, Frank?
What do you mean that would be the ballpark?
The ballpark's responsibility?
Yes. Now, in Florida especially, have you ever been to spring training?
You're looking at me and asking that question.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're my wife, yeah. Well, so I know you haven't. Have you ever been, Bud, or you, any of you out there?
I've been to spring training, went to spring training to see the Minnesota Twins down in Orlando once.
Yeah, those ballparks in the Grapefruit League especially are falling apart. They're grandstand dumps. They haven't updated them in years. You know, it's, do you know the old joke about under the grandstands by...
You're laughing about it.
No, I'm not.
Under the Grandstands by Seymour Butts. Is that it, the book?
Yes, but I was going to make the... I didn't want to just say it like, ooh. That's what you...
No, that's what you're making it sound like, Frank.
Why don't you clear your throat, Margaret? God, did you hear him? You heard this...
You know what I'll do is throw you out of here in a minute.
All right, the point I'm making is these ballparks in Florida that house the Grapefruit League teams are garbage cans waiting to be emptied. They're big, 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 big garbage pits, and they're falling apart. Now, that kid was there's a great example of how someone is going to die, and I mean literally someone is going to die slowly and horribly if they don't fix these ballparks so that regular people can walk in there, watch a baseball game, and not be in utter and sheer fear to lose a limb.
Oh, come on, will you, Frank?
I'm not kidding. I mean, you saw what happened.
I saw the kid. The thing fell on his head. He's not going to lose a limb.
Well, what are you saying specifically?
Well, how more...
Yeah, you talk about a guy lose his leg.
I'm telling you right now that those baseball stadiums down there at the Grapefruit... in Grapefruit Town. Not Grapefruit Town.
In the Grapefruit League.
All right, yeah, in the Grapefruit League, those baseball stadiums...
Baseball.
Baseball stadiums, yes.
Baseboo.
Well, you're the one calling the publisher of the National Enquirer, Billy Boo Boo.
I never called... You're the one that...
Well, Margaret, you did.
I didn't say Billy Boo Boo.
Well, you said Ricky Boo Boo.
You know my philosophy there, Frank, so don't keep running it into the ground.
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean I gotta like it. Let me just say this. Forget it.
Well, you're saying something valuable if, in point of fact, that's true. I've seen a lot of updated stadiums, and some of the ballparks have very nice facilities indeed.
Yeah, if you look at the... Well, one of the games I saw was there was a really good stadium.
Yeah, one of the games you saw. One of the games. But I'm telling you, there's the ballparks down there need updating. And the reason why I said Seymour Butts, under the grandstands by Seymour Butts, you know...
I've heard the joke already, Frank.
All right. If you walk under the grandstands at any Grapefruit League stadium and you look up, you'll see more butts than ever before. Okay, record-breaking amounts. And
well, what do you mean record-breaking amounts?
I'll bet you somewhere someone's kept tabs every year walking under those grandstands. Okay, look at that. There's another 50 bare asses I'm looking at.
What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing at nothing.
The hell you're not. Well... All right, so I don't think that's a war we can fight here tonight, nor one that we are even close to winning. But good luck to the baseball fans of America.
Margaret, are you you any kind of a sports fan? I've never have asked you that.
I like prize fighting.
Oh, Margaret's a big boxing fan. You like the MMA, right?
I like the MMA. I like boxing. I like the MMA. I don't like some aspects of the MMA. But I do like the gals going at it, and I think that's good for the sport. I love horse racing.
Yeah, we got a box.
What do you mean you got a box?
Yeah,
a box at the goddamn.
At the Santa Anita, we have a box. So you should come with us, General. Would you like to bring Patsy?
I don't know. My weekends, I want to stay close to home if I want to watch any. But I do appreciate the offer. But it's very kind. But I like to watch horse racing on TV.
Hey, I hear you.
All right. That about concludes this thing. But, you know.
Well, Margaret, you pitched in. You did a great job.
You did, Margaret. You know, for just jumping in there.
Well, I was listening to Phil crying and going, ooh. And you, Bud.
I didn't cry that much.
Yes, you did. And I said, move over, and I'll take control. And you clowns, clear out. Get far away from me, and let me just ride this thing. You know, as they say, take the pain. Take it.
What does that mean?
Don't worry. This is Margaret Gray, along with Frank Gray, Bud Dickman, and General Galen Shaw here on today's podcast. It has been a bare-bones affair, given the technical difficulties that we encountered prior in the studio. But here's hoping that everything will be back on course for tomorrow's show. But until then, Margaret Gray saying goodbye. Let our hearts call it a day. But from now on, I'd like to say, I just got something I want to say. I bring you bluebirds, yeah, in the spring. Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus, Frank.
A cozy fire and everything.